Good evening, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central, a special draft day edition of Railbird Central. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we are breaking down coverage of day one of the NFL draft. The Packers have selected UCLA defensive end Daytone Jones, and to help me talk about that, we have Pro Football Draft Previews, Pigskin Paul Guillemette joining us on the phone. He broke down the defensive lineman. Paul, how you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Brian. I'm doing all right.
Very good. Well, let's get right to it, Paul. Where did you have Daytone Jones? Is it Daytone or Daytone?
As far as I know, it's Daytone Jones.
Daytone, okay. Where did you have him ranked? And just give me the brief nutshell overview of who Daytone Jones is.
Well, I had him ranked as my 52nd overall best player. So obviously, I did not feel he was a first rounder. I thought he would have been a really solid pick in the second round for someone. He really came on his senior season at UCLA with the coaching change from the collegian style of Rick Neuheisel transitioning to ex-NFL coach Jim Mora. So the good side there is that you see a player here who responded and played his best football under predominantly former NFL coaches. He has burst. He has good size, not great size. I think 6'4", 283, could be somewhat of a challenge in a 3-4 scheme. I personally think his best fit would have been a defensive end in a 4-3 scheme, but I'm just going to say that without a doubt, Ted Thompson and his scouts know a lot more about the NFL and players fitting there than I do. So I will defer to their judgment. He had a locker room issue with the previous coaching staff where he got into a little bit of a tussle with one of his position coaches at UCLA. And other than that, as far as I know, he's clean, which makes sense. That's something the Packers always look for. And I think if Dom Capers can put him on the field and leave him out there, I think he certainly is more athletic than many of the gentlemen that we've had playing defensive end for the Pack over the last few years. I'm thinking of going back, Ryan Pickett, really solid player, but doesn't have a whole lot of athleticism and speed to play outside. Jarius Wynn was undersized and certainly not as athletic as a Daytone Jones. So certainly one can understand it. Again, I think the big question, and that's for another day, is Dom Capers going to put the guy out on the field and utilize him?
The one thing I very much like you, the question I had about Daytone Jones was his size, 283 pounds. Well, I suppose and there's both height and weight. And let's talk about the positive first here before I get to the weight issue. He's 6'4". There's no Packers defensive lineman who's over 6'3". So he does bring that length that the Packers don't have. Talk about having length and leverage as a defensive lineman in a 3-4 as a 5 technique.
Well, it can come into play in multiple ways. And one of the key ways that length, and you've alluded to it, Brian, there can be a big difference between height and length. You can be 6'6", and if you've got short arms, you don't have the length, and that height is not going to help you to, obstruct the view of the quarterback or bat down passes. So there's a significant difference between those two things, and I think Mike Turgovec, in his interview at the end of the season, was complaining about the lack of height, but also the lack of length. And to be honest with you, Jones doesn't really resolve much of the length issue, because on a relative scale for a guy 6'4", his arm length is only 32 3/4 inches. So he represents a little bit better height. He was 6'3 7/8 inches at the combine. So he represents a slight improvement in height for the Packers, but I don't think he adds much from a length standpoint with arms at 6'4", arms that are less than 33 inches long. So, again, I'm not sure if that answers it. I think one of the things that really, really plays into this selection was the combination of his productivity as a senior, both from a tackles for loss and from a sack standpoint. And I think the other thing that plays in here is that he had a 4.80 official 40 time at the combine. A combine. It's getting late. I can't speak real well at this. And no, I have not been drinking. and he brings part of the equation that you're looking for. I think his burst and his explosiveness are what they're looking for. And Brian, I could be wrong here, but if they don't beef him up a little bit, and let's say get him up to 295, I think it is entirely possible that one of the things that appeals to them could perhaps be the possibility that they might even have him lose a couple of pounds or stay where he is, and you might actually see him stay on the field and perhaps stand up some of the time when the Packers go to their two-man defensive line. And it might allow the team, just before the snap, let's say, to let him put his hand on the ground and come after the quarterback in more of a 3-4 traditional scheme. So I'm guessing here. I'm trying to plug in gaps. I think what appeals to them is his athleticism and his productivity under the Jim Mora rookie coaching staff at UCLA.
Well, at 283 pounds here, and that was kind of my deterrent a little bit with Dayton Jones, in a 3-4 defense, at least at times, he's going to be asked to two-gap, and he's going to be asked to hold up blockers. Now, there are some guys who can do that in the NFL at you know, around his weight, but more often than not, there's not, at least in a 3-4 defense. Is he going to be able to hold the point of attack?
I think he probably will be able to, let's say, 10 weeks out of the 16-game season, or 10 games out of the 16-game seasons. I have my doubts, Brian, how effective he's going to be against the run when they play the Vikings. Mm-hmm. With their big offensive line and the big, strong running back in Adrian Peterson. Now, I will say something else that I would guess appeals to the Packers here. And it, again, it's a slightly mitigating factor. You can't get past 283 pounds, but then again, you know, 293, 10 pounds more, doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot either. But I think the thing that the Packers probably like about him, and it may give him the opportunity to be a little bit more effective against the run than you might at first imagine. He has 10-inch long, wide slash hands, and he is very, very effective using his hands to punch and push. He's one of those heavy-handed players, and he also, I think, from what I saw in Mobile, he's also quick with those strong hands. You know, and in essence, I guess what I'm saying is, not that he can't do it now, but Dayton Jones, back in the day when defensive linemen could just head club the offensive tackle, Dayton Jones would have been a big hit and a very productive player. So I think the Packers are hoping that he'll somewhat make up. But yes, that is my primary concern, how well is this guy going to hold up against the teams that have big offensive lines and big running backs and like to pound it between the tackles for, you know, for 25, 30 times a game, which a lot of teams don't do anymore. So I have my concerns, but but I guess it's the old story. There's no such thing as the perfect player. You could draft somebody bigger, and they wouldn't have his quickness or his speed to get after the ball and get after the quarterback. I have to believe some of the thinking here is, again, not sure exactly what scheme of Don Capers he's going to really max out in, but the guy has explosiveness and quickness towards the quarterback that not too many of the current Packers defensive linemen have.
The Packers took him in their first round, so obviously they're going to try to use him as much as possible. Do you think he's a three-down player, and is he going to be that guy who plays the five technique in their 3-4 and then can effectively stay on the field and slide inside in their nickels and dime sub packages and play like that three technique position on passing downs?
I'm slightly skeptical of the latter, again, because of the lack of size. I know speed and quickness is the more important issue there, and perhaps, again, that's what they're counting on, but I have serious concerns in some of those situations. I think he's going to be struggling on the outside. I'm not sure I think he's going to struggle less when you try to slide him inside in a three technique in some of their subs, but the Packers have a teaching staff, and we'll hope that Mike Turgovec had some input along with Dom Capers into this selection, and it's not something that Ted Thompson dreamed up on his own watching film. You'd like to think that this is a consensus-type opinion on Dayton Jones. And, again, we certainly all acknowledge that given their age and the contract status of some players, they certainly at some point needed to be looking for defensive line help here. We'll see how good of a fit and how often Dayton Jones fits the schemes for them. He reminds me somewhat, a little bit bigger, but he reminds me somewhat of Nick Perry, to be honest with you, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's why I'm not convinced. You got one guy that you're working on to convert the linebacker and is undersized to play down for you, and you know, I don't think they drafted this guy to convert to linebacker other than in some subsettings, but the size is the disconcerting part to me, and I'll stick by it, even though I think more people would trust Ted Thompson and his scouts than trust Pigskin Paul to be the definitive answer. I believe it when I see it, when they figure out how to fit him in. But I will say this, I will backtrack by it, and I should mention this. Dayton Jones was a player since the Senior Bowl who has been rising on draft boards. I have seen his name moving up from the third round range, and believe it or not, I think, you know, I probably have briefly looked at about 10 mock drafts in the last 3 days, and I can tell you honestly that I don't know that any of them projected him to the Packers, but I'm going to say 3 or 4 of those 10 mocks did indeed project him as a first round selection.
Yeah, you know, the more I see about him, read about him, the more I like him, the more I see people break him down and talk about his positives, the more I'm warming up to him. I sat there at the NFL Combine at his press conference, Paul, and he said, one person he patterns his game after, he'd like to strive to be like, is J.J. Watt. Obviously, a very highly regarded Wisconsin boy. What do you see in those comparisons? You compared him to Nick Perry, actually, a little bit. What do you see from him compared to J.J. Watt?
I see a little. And what I see when I say a little is J.J. Watt uses his hands very effectively. And I think Jones does that better than a lot of players. But when you compare, and athletically, you know, J.J. Watt, for his size, runs a nice 40 and can really move around the field. So does Dayton Jones. But I don't think Jones comes close to stacking up to the power and the strength and the bulk that J.J. Watt carries around. You know, I think we're talking, what, about 16 pounds difference and a couple of inches in height difference. So I know J.J. Watt's arms, you know, are a lot longer. A Dayton Jones with those size arms, I think, is going to have trouble from a pass rush perspective trying to be proficient in the NFL with a swim move. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's just not going to have that leverage. But again, we have to remember, when you start talking pass rush pressure from defensive ends and swim moves in the NFL, in my opinion, that's in a 4-3 scheme. Mm-hmm. That's not the job for a 3-4 scheme defensive end. And you've hit on it. In a 3-4 scheme, while Clay Matthews is running around with his hair on fire, you know, going wherever he thinks the ball should take him, somebody's got to stay home and hold down that corner and that side of the field. I think, again, you pointed it out, and I agree with you, that's going to be the real question on the effectiveness of Dayton Jones, again, unless Dom Capers is going to come up with some unique scheme again.
Yeah, I mean, could it just be a case where the Packers go with the status quo? They run their nickel and dime more than any team in the NFL, and he really is playing more of an interior pass rusher more often than not.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. And if that's what we're doing, here we go again. I have a mouse in my pocket. if that's what the Packers are going to do, and if that's the concept that Dom Capers has for him, I'm just going to say, I guess I need to see it to believe it. I think if you're going to try to be moving him inside and realistically rushing two, maybe three people, I just think it's not going to be very hard for those five offensive linemen to just engulf him and make him disappear. So it will be interesting. Now, conversely, if the coverage is good and the quarterback has to start to scramble a little bit and roll the pocket, then Jones, with his speed and his athleticism, could give the team something that they're not getting from their current group of guys, because none of them has the speed to really pursue effectively in those situations. Let's face it, if you think of some of the Packer games in the last couple of years and against the more mobile quarterbacks on third and long, those quarterbacks seem to have forever, because if they had the ability to roll out of that pocket after the first 3 or 4 seconds, we didn't have any defensive linemen out there that were going to be able to chase them down effectively.
Let's talk a little bit about the current members of the Packers defensive line who were there before Dayton Jones. Five members of the Packers defensive line have contracts who are up after the 2013 season. We're talking about B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, Mike Neal, C.J. Wilson, and Johnny Jolly. How much do you think that played into the selection of Dayton Jones?
Well, I think it played in significantly, and I would not be surprised if it doesn't play in again later in this draft. I could see this team with the 8 picks they have, if they fill a couple of other needs, other places in the upcoming rounds, I could easily see Ted Thompson going for another defensive lineman, 5th, 6th, 7th round. And I also would expect that they would probably go out. And, you know, one of the things that they've really built their team around has been undrafted rookie free agents. I could really see them go out and sign 2 or 3. And let's face it, Ted Thompson and his staff are not afraid to take some of these undrafted rookie free agents and just say, you know what, we're getting rid of veteran X, Y, and Z, and we're going to put these guys on the roster, and one of those three is going to show us enough that we're going to keep him, and we're going to develop him, and we're going to use him. But yeah, Brian, this is a tough one for me, and you know this because you're editing what I write for the, you know, I'm not saying you're censoring, but you're editing what we're writing in my section, and I have a hard time trying to figure out the Packer defensive line these days because Capers goes so often to his two-man fronts, mm-hmm. which drives me out of my mind. You know that. You and I have talked and written, and I just think that, you know, Dom Capers does not seem to put any much value and any emphasis on defensive line, and I don't think it scares the Packers to think of, you know, the five guys that whose contracts would be up. I don't think it scares Ted Thompson at all to think that he could lose three of those five. They'll find bodies to plug in.
Right now, the Packers have a lot of defensive linemen. Just in terms of 2013,
in numbers,
right. Yeah. I mean, they may not all be the best guys, but I'm going to try to name them all here. And B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, and I'm holding out my fingers as I'm counting them here. So we got two. We got C.J. Wilson. We got C.J. Wilson. We got Mike Neal. We got Johnny Jolly. We got Jarrell Worthy. We got Mike Daniels. And
there you go.
That might be it. But I think they got Jordan Miller, who was on the practice squad last year.
Exactly. There you go.
But so there's eight, and now nine is DeTone Jones. I mean, nine guys when they keep two on the field and most of the time. How are you going to keep... How are they going to use roster spots on these guys? I mean, Jarrell Worthy is probably going to be on the pup list, but still, I mean, how many roster spots are you going to keep for these guys?
Well, I really don't see, you know, like they have in recent years, I don't see that they'll keep more than six guys. And of those six, two will be potential throwaway players, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just roster fillers.
Yep.
And again, maybe the drafting of Jones is an indicator that something's going to change here. But I think a lot of us said that last year when they drafted Worthy and Daniels, and I didn't see anything change scheme wise or alignment wise last season. So, but I would think personally, Brian, especially for a guy like Ted Thompson who values the draft so highly, I would anticipate that if they're using their first round pick, and let's face it, you know, we just saw, in the, you know, there was, you know, the Patriots were able to get out of round one, and the Vikings have moved back up for their third first rounder. Obviously, not that Ted wants to deal with the Vikings, but obviously, I'll bet Ted got a couple of phone calls and had the opportunity to trade out of that of their slot.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, and he chose not to do it, A, they must feel pretty highly about Jones, and B, that would seem to indicate that Ted places at least some value on defensive linemen. So, you know, whether maybe perhaps this is a showdown year, I don't want to project too much here, we're supposed to talk the draft, but, you know, could this be a showdown year for Dom Capers as coordinator? You know, Mike McCarthy got him back for this year. But could this be Ted Thompson saying, hey, I'm giving you the talent,
mm-hmm.
and I expect to see something out of this defensive line, not just a bunch of guys kind of running around the field while we wait for the secondary and the linebackers to make plays. So who knows? But again, you know, you're right. There's a list there, but the question is how impressive or unimpressive is that list, and does using a first-round pick like Jones indicate some kind of change in philosophy or attitude? I'd like to think so. Let's hope so. I'm an old-fashioned guy. That's why I write defensive line and offensive interior line. I believe that football was made for big guys, not track guys in their underwear. I'm just hoping that there will be some emphasis change, but yeah, the In some ways, it's a strange pick. In other ways, it certainly makes sense because they don't have enough of what they need, I don't think, along the defensive line to be a serious Super Bowl contender in today's NFL.
I hope you're not getting too winded here, Paul, but maybe with just one more question here, if we kind of look ahead now, now that the Packers have addressed the defensive line, what's the biggest remaining need on the Packers, and where do they go maybe here in round two? Well, and don't feel free to limit yourself to one thing.
I'm going to stick to Ted's philosophy, or at least his professed philosophy. You know, there are lots of places where the Packers still potentially need added talent for this roster. You know, I think safety position is far from deep and settled at this point. I'm not necessarily in love with M.D. Jennings as a starting safety in the NFL. Maybe other folks are, but I'm not. I still think, given the offense that the Packers choose to work with right now, I think losing both Donald Driver and Greg Jennings says to me that for a team that relies on the passing game as much as they do, I'd like to see them, you know, take a wide receiver sometime soon. I wish they had taken DeAndre Hopkins instead of Dante Jones, but that's just big skin Paul for you. I think linebacker has to be, you know, should be considered depending on what's available and when, because the way Dom Capers likes to put his formations and his sub-packages out there, you need a lot of linebackers who can make plays. And obviously, they got rid of Smith, and I keep hearing that the jury is still out on if and when Desmond Bishop is going to pass a physical coming off his injury. So, you know, they may not be quite as deep at linebacker, and Walden obviously left. May not, and Zombo. You know, they still have a long list of linebackers on this team, but you could question some of the quality that's still left, and considering how important it is. Offensive line, you know, I think you still need your center of the future to be drafted sometime soon, and the future could be as soon as possible. Tackle's probably okay as long as Sherrard and Bulaga are really going to come back healthy. I'd like to see them take a running back late in the draft. They probably don't need tight end until next year when they get rid of Finley. I think there's four or five positions. They've got seven more picks at this stage, and I think they'll look to draft the best available player at a position of need, and you know they still need players at more than half the positions on the roster. So anything that's out there. But I guess I would say to you, I will be shocked if they were to draft another defensive lineman in the top 100. I don't think. It would have to be somebody incredibly talented that they couldn't believe would drop that far for them to put that kind of concentration on one position.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you just look at you know, a top 100 list, a top 200 list, and just keep looking at the, you know, three or four players around where each draft choice is coming from in the next, like tomorrow night. Take a look at, you know, who's around on somebody's big board that, you know, the Packers could be looking at 55 and 88. And then from there, you just hope that somebody maybe a little bit more talented drops, like as we were all blogging and messaging tonight, you know, a pick would be taken and somebody like the Bears takes Kyle Long in the first round, and after everybody makes fun of them, the next thing we all say is, wow, that means there's one more really good guy we didn't expect to be there to be around when the Packers pick. So you know darn well that will happen between now and pick 55, and then again before pick 88. So I personally, and I think Ted does this, I'm personally not going to go very far from the talent that looks to be available when I pick next, whether it's exactly the position I'd like to fill next or not, you can't do that. I really don't think you can, and I don't think that Ted Thompson does that very often, unless he's in a mood to trade. I think we saw that last year, and that is the exception to the rule for Ted.
Mm-hmm.
But as we saw last year, Ted kept saying, yes, but, you know, we took the best available player. Yeah, but Ted, you took five straight defensive guys. Well, he did that because he just kept trading up until he got to a spot where the guy he wanted, who was a defender, was the best guy there, and then he took him. So I just don't see them doing that this year. And I think that would be a wise thing not to do, because I'm one of those people that feels very strongly that there's not a whole lot of difference in the quality of player 50 and player 125 or 150 even in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's really deep with players of close to equal talent. Go for quantity, not quality. And obviously I'm not saying ignore quality, but quantity may be more important than quality. Teams like the Vikings, who decided that they had guys they had to have, and have traded away half their draft now to have gotten three guys tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will pay for that, I think, a little bit in this draft, because there could be two guys in the second round who are just as good as a wide receiver as Cordarrelle Patterson is.
Yeah.
So I think the Packers need to stay the course, do the old take the best available player at a position in need, and see how the draft, let the draft fall to them this year.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that you saw both Justin Pugh and Kyle Long go fairly early, perhaps a little earlier than expected. But I think after the third round, I don't think there's any tackles out there at all. There was a couple good ones really early. I think the tackle crop is really poor this year depth-wise. So kind of interesting to see people stretch a little.
Yep, I don't argue with you. I think there is some talent out there to be taken late, but it's a long shot. You probably run a 50-50 chance that the kid ever develops. There's potential, but it's not a sure thing by a long shot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. It you know, you really have to be careful. And, you know, I'd say the same thing in defense of this pick to some degree. I'd say the same thing about true defensive ends. There's a lot of guys listed as defensive end that are really outside linebackers in 3-4 schemes. They're not big enough to play NFL defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And you get past the first dozen or so, and you start seeing names of true defensive ends that weigh more than 275 and stand more than 6'2", the list gets pretty small. There's an awful lot of guys on the defensive end list that are 6'2", 250 pounds.
Yeah.
And basically, they're just speed pass rushers.
Yeah, exactly. Paul?
So, in that sense, Dayton Jones looks like a giant, doesn't he?
Paul, thanks so much for joining us here on Round 1 tonight. We'll talk to you again if the Packers grab interior offensive lineman. It wouldn't surprise me if we're talking about a center here in another couple round or two. But
I think you could be right. I don't think next round, but I could see third round, maybe fourth, fifth, somewhere in there. And as I said, we may be talking one more time about defensive linemen as well, because I think they will, if the right guy's out there, they're going to take another guy, maybe a bigger, heavier guy, like a William Campbell from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 6 foot with length and size, 6'5", 320 plus. In, you know, once you get to the sixth or seventh round, we may be talking a few times before this is over. But then again, it's Whitey. We may be done talking for this season, buddy.
You never know. Paul, thank you regardless. We appreciate it. You're a wealth of knowledge, and we'll talk to you again at some point. Did I lose you, Paul? I might have lost him, but
the whole nine yards, and we'll hope that we're even happier with some more of the Packer picks over the next 3 days.
Perfect. All right. We'll see you later, Paul.
Okay. Take care, Brian.
Yeah, you too. See ya. Pigskin Paul Guillemette joining us here on Railbird Central, a special draft edition of Railbird Central, breaking down the pick of Dayton Jones, the newest member of the Green Bay Packers. And what I want to do here is I got the NFL Draft Scout guide right here in front of me, and I just want to read through this here. This gives you another look at another opinion on not just Dayton Jones, but a lot of the top prospects in the draft. You know, coming from NFLDraftScout.com, this is the publication that Rob Rang is a part of, Dane Brugler, and those guys do great work. So here's the overview on Dayton Jones. Quote, hybrid defenders capable of lining up inside and out depending on the down and distance are coveted chess pieces in the evolving schemes needed to contend with the en vogue read option offenses. Jones offers great value with experience in the 3-4 and 4-3 defenses. Fully recovered from a broken foot that felled him in 2010, he thrived with 17.5 tackles for a loss and 6 sacks in 2012. His combination of quickness and strength brings explosiveness that makes him stand out at the Senior Bowl. Here's his strengths. Quote, well-built athlete, has long arms, good strength, and the explosive initial burst off the snap to penetrate gaps. Uses his hands to rip free from blocks, showing a variety of pass rush moves, swim, rip, and club, and the power to bull rush. Keeps his head up, locates the ball quickly, showing good awareness and effort in pursuit. Has the upper body strength to lock out and seal the edge. Stout enough to slide inside to defensive tackle. Might only be scratching the surface of his potential. Here's his weaknesses. A tweener who didn't live up to his expectations until his senior season. Lacks sustained speed and flexibility to turn the corner as a traditional 4-3 defensive end. Lacks the bulk for full-time defensive end tackle duties. Too often loses the leverage battle. Typically uses his hands well until he tires. And they say he compares to Robert Ayers of the Broncos. Like Ayers, Jones has flashed talent throughout his college career, but has been racked with inconsistency. His versatility and big senior season could push a team to gamble on his upside early. And that's basically what the Packers did, gambling on his upsides. As I've said, I question the size, especially not the height. The height is good. That's what they want. It's the weight. It's the 283 pounds. I think, if the Packers, or expect him to be a three-down player, he's going to have to put on some weight. I think he can, which is a good thing. I think his frame will allow him to add weight. But will he be able to hold the point of attack? Can he two-gap? Is he going to be able to help stop Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings? And is he going to be able to help contain Colin Kaepernick of the San Francisco 49ers? Packers play him in week one, the team that eliminated him last year. Is he going to be able to do those things and not get swallowed up by that good 49ers offensive line? So, is Jones capable of those things? Like I said, the more I read about him, the more I kind of like him. People keep throwing out good small 3-4 defensive end or relatively light defensive end comparisons. Not that Dayton Jones compares to all these guys, but you look at guys like J.J. Watt, under 300 pounds, but he weighs 295. Justin Smith of the San Francisco 49ers, Calais Campbell of the Arizona Cardinals. All those guys, a little bit, on the lighter side, not any of them who are, well over 300 pounds, and all do a good job getting after the quarterback, for a defensive lineman. You're not going to expect a 3-4 defensive lineman to have double-digit tackles. At least most of them don't, or double-digit sacks, I mean. J.J. Watt did, but yeah, he's kind of the exception to the rule. He's kind of a freak of nature. I thought, and I wrote the feature. I'm going to throw it back up on the homepage of the Cheesehead TV after the draft here. I wrote just about a week ago on Dayton Jones about him being an enigma as a 3-4 defensive line project. I threw out the measurable comparisons to J.J. Watt because, you know, Dayton Jones compared himself to J.J. Watt, or, you know, a player he wants to be like. And I thought it was interesting just looking at the two players from the NFL combine perspective and their drills. The only thing Dayton Jones did better than J.J. Watt, you know, both first-round draft choices here, albeit Watt much, much higher. Watt was the 11th overall draft choice by the Houston Texans. But, so he had a, Dayton Jones had a faster 40-yard dash of 4.80 seconds, whereas Watts was 4.84. So, you know, only 0.04 of a second faster. But otherwise, Watt had done every other measure drill better. He had more bench presses. Watt had 34. Jones had 29. Watt had a higher vertical jump of 37 inches compared to quite a bit less here. Dayton Jones' vertical jump of 31.5 inches. J.J. Watt's horizontal jump, his broad jump, 120 inches. Dayton Jones, 112. J.J. Watt's three-cone drill was 6.88 seconds, whereas Jones is 7.32. And finally, J.J. Watt's short shuttle of 4.21 seconds, faster than Dayton Jones' 4.32. So there you go. J.J. Watt, you know, being the superior athlete in almost all measured disciplines, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, before we wrap it up here, and we've been on air for over 40 minutes now here on Railbird Central trying to break down this pick here. The state of the current Packers defensive line, I really do, and I see PaxMac 25 talking here on the live blog. If Jesse Williams is available when the Packers pick in the second, I'll do backflips. I like Jesse Williams too for what he is, but I cannot see the Packers drafting another defensive lineman. We just broke down the numbers. They had, what was it? We counted eight guys before the selection of Dayton Jones. Now they have nine defensive linemen. We're talking about a team that runs the 3-4 defense and frequently, more than any other team in the NFL, runs a two-man defensive front. They put two defensive linemen out on the field more often than anybody else. What are you going to do with these? Now, granted, I think the Packers will keep seven defensive linemen this year. It's just the way, it's a deep position. Every year there's, you know, an unusually deep position where they keep more than most. This year it's going to be the defensive line. I'll tell you that now. But to add another outside of maybe the seventh round or undrafted free agency when you're just kind of filling out your roster, you just can't. I'm sorry, but I don't think they can. They're just too many guys. I mean, because, you know, with a lot of these guys, now, one of these guys is going to be out of a job, unexpectedly. You know, there's going to be one guy who kind of catches everybody by surprise and be like, whoa, I didn't think they'd cut him, and they do. Kind of like DJ Smith just a couple days ago. There's going to be somebody who gets cut, and you're not going to know who it is. You might have a clue. Because Wisconsin Rob says, Mike Neal want to look at renting on a short-term lease. Could be. But I mean, okay, Jarrell Worthy's probably going to spend the season on the PUP, at least to begin with. Wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play at all. But I mean, so he's starting the season on the PUP, probably. So there's one less guy you got to worry about. Johnny Jolly, sorry to say, but I just don't think he's going to be long for the Packers. You know, he had 3 years off from the NFL. They just add Dayton Jones in the first round. It's probably not looking good for Johnny Jolly. Even if he does do well, it's just probably he might have a better chance latching on somewhere else. You know, even if he's in shape and all those things, it just from a number standpoint, probably not going to work out. He's now 30 years old, and yeah, he might have a year or two left in him, but it, you know, how long do you want to go with, you know, Johnny Jolly? So I mean, BJ Raji's not going anywhere. Ryan Pickett, you're keeping him. You know, they're going to keep Mike Neal, I think, unless he absolutely tanks it in training camp or something like that. Because you got to look at it from this perspective, too. Mike Neal, after 2013, going to be a free agent. Even if he leaves, you know, you maybe get the comp pick if he you know, can get somebody out there to sign him for a decent enough contract. Same thing with C.J. Wilson, you know, another free agent to be. You kind of hope those guys do well, because even if they leave, you know, maybe they get signed somewhere else and you get the comp pick. You got Mike Daniels. There's five guys who you're keeping. Add Dayton Jones. There's your sixth. And I don't know who your seventh would be. Whether it's, you know, Jarrell Worthy comes back, whether, you know, Johnny Jolly unexpectedly just plays like a beast, perhaps. But we'll see. We'll see. So there you go. But, you know, who's all back in 2014? No clue. I mean, they're going to wait till the season plays itself out. You know, see how BJ Raji does. I'm thinking this is Ryan Pickett's last year in Green Bay. You know, maybe they'd bring him back on a one-year contract worth, you know, not much money if he plays well this season. Could be something like that. But yeah, a lot of numbers on the Packers defensive line, but not a lot of guys who's got contracts longer than 2013. You know, past this year, the only sure things coming back for 2014 are probably Jarrell Worthy and Mike Daniels, because they were just rookies last year. But anyway, yeah, a lot of defensive linemen. And you know, folks, that's going to about do it here for a Wednesday night, or pardon me, a Thursday night here at Cheesehead TV, as we break down Dayton Jones and the first draft pick of the Green Bay Packers, with the first round now being over. I'm going to go back. I'm going to see what stuff we got. I think I got a Q&A with Dayton Jones I'll be posting here at Cheesehead TV, so look for that later. I'll be reposting the feature I wrote earlier. And yeah, we'll see you later, everyone. Join us tomorrow night. We're going to have the live blog going during rounds 2 and 3. We'll be broadcasting after each round again, talking about the newest additions of the Green Bay Packers. So there you go. Join us. We'll be here all weekend long talking NFL draft and breaking these players down. So we'll see you later, everyone. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today with a song called Velvet Red by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.